But let's go ahead and open up with the word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, Lord, with a humble heart, just to ask that you would just step in and take over and guide us and lead us and instruct us. Lord, we just invite your presence. Just ask that you would just take over our thoughts, our attitudes. And Lord, sometimes we come up with preconceived ideas of the way we think and the things that we see and read. But Lord, we just toss those out right now in the name of Jesus, that our minds would be blank, that we would be a clean slate, that you would write upon our hearts that your instructions and your ways and your word. And we just ask that you would take over. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we are going in Psalms. We read the first part of Psalms 137, chapter 119, verse 137. And we only got the first part read. So we're going to pick it back up there today. Remember, the first sentence was, out of King James, it said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, upright are thy judgments." We talked about that last week. There was many that maybe wasn't here. We talked about righteous. Righteous meaning just. Okay? Just meaning agreeing with what is considered morally right or good. So when he says righteous art thou, he's saying, God, that you are morally good and right in everything you do. So when he says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, upright are thy judgments." Upright, defined by the Hebrew dictionary, says straight. God's word, his directions are straight. Got that? So if we look at this, righteous, meaning God is morally good in all things. Upright, he is upright. He is straightforward with what he said. Now, here's the part I really like. He says, "Upright are thy judgments." What are the judgments? I looked that up in the Hebrew. Judgment defined in the Hebrew said properly a verdict, favorable or unfavorable. Upright are God's judgments. His judgment is a verdict, whether it is favorable or unfavorable. Got that? So in short, if something is favorable or unfavorable, and it's upright and it's straight, what did we just find out as? It was fair. I looked up in the Matthew Henry, it said, "God never did and never can do any wrong. The promises are faithfully performed by him that are made by him." God cannot do anything wrong. Everything he gives us is upright. You know, what I really liked about that was his judgments. His judgments, it's a verdict, whether it is favorable or unfavorable. You might find yourself in a favorable situation. You might find yourself in an unfavorable situation. But God's judgments are upright. They are morally good. One thing that I liked, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we kind of touched on it last week, is we often bring up the persecuted church. And we say, that's not a favorable situation. But what we talk about is, when somebody gives their life for the cause of Christ, imagine how many people that are watching get saved. Imagine how many people are watching. What we don't understand is, when God calls somebody in another country, this is my child, I'm going to use them as a martyr. I'm going to use them to be killed for the sake of Jesus. He's preparing everybody else's heart who's watching. He's preparing. He's doing something. He's doing something that we can't understand. He's doing something that we can't see.
He just stood in Charleston.
Right. Right. And everybody that's watching, they're going to see God's hand in it.
To add to that, I just read an article this weekend about a wife who, somewhere in the Middle East, were there. They're persecuting, is it the Egyptians? Anyway, she said that his head was cut off. She had children, young children, whatever. She said she couldn't watch the video. And she said that she was so glad when she finally did watch the video, because in the video, the last thing he said before he did it was, "Dear God, please save my soul." She said, so he, right there, you know, his last words were for God to save him, comfort, whatever. She said, and to for me and my family, that has strengthened our faith like never before. So if you can do, I mean, that's just a small family.
Right.
Imagine all the other people, like you're saying.
Right. And if God's going to use people, they're going to say, look at Stephen. He looked up and saw the heaven open up, and he went home. You know, we talk about the persecuted church. They were persecuting Christians back in the early years. It's the same thing now. God's in control. He's the one running the show. He knows what he's doing. His mercy, his comfort, his judgments are right. They're upright.
There's nothing new under
this. That's right. So we just got to understand that whatever verdict we find ourselves in, whether it's favorable or unfavorable, it's been directed by God. It came through the hand of God, and we know God don't make mistakes. Moving on in verse 138, he says, your laws are perfect and completely trustworthy. I like that. Your laws are perfect. There is nothing else in the world that you can trust as much as you can trust God's word. That, I mean, you trust his word, you follow it. You know, when you read through this whole chapter, we saw that David was being persecuted. We see David was being hunted down. We see David was going through a lot of things. But how many times have we seen the word obey and obeying? Many, many, many times. Because he's saying, I trust you enough, God, that no matter what I go through, I'm going to obey you. And sometimes we get into one little argument with a family member or a friend, and next thing you know, we lose our mind, and we're saying things we know we're not supposed to say. We're doing things we know we're not supposed to do. Next thing you know, we're not loving. We're not forgiving. We got bitterness in our heart. We're doing everything against God's word. But what David is letting us know is no matter what you go through, his word is completely trustworthy. If God says, let it go, let it go. If God's word says stop, you stop. You trust him. His word is trustworthy. He says, verse 139, I am overwhelmed with indignation, for my enemies have disregarded your word. He says he's overwhelmed with indignation. Why? Because the enemy has disregarded his word. Sometimes we are overwhelmed with indignation because people won't listen to us. It's not us that they're rejecting. It's the word that they're rejecting. It's the Spirit of God that you're rejecting.
So you're saying don't take it personally.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, he's upset because they have refused to follow the Lord. They've refused to follow the Word. But yet, how many times have you ever been talking to somebody and trying to state your cause of Christ and they won't agree and you get upset? And you're thinking, how in the world can you not see it? Well, I tell you how they can't see it. They're blind. Satan has them blind. And sometimes if a person does not ask God in their life, there is no way in the world they're going to see what you see. There's no way in the world. So the way that you combat that is you live it in front of them. Instead of getting mad at them, is you overcome it with love, with forgiveness, with kindness. That's his word. That's why he says you trust his word, because it's faithful, it's just. Look at this in 140. He says, your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. You know, David let us know right here. I mean, it's amazing. His word has been tested through the ages. God's word has been tested, tested, and tested. But they prevail. You know, one thing that I really, in my life, are trying to go a direction just to be completely sold out for the cause of Christ in every way. I'm talking in every way. From the attitude of praise to the attitude of reading it, to the attitude of living it. You know, and the more I find myself trying to go that direction, the more disrespect comes my way. The more trouble that comes my way. The more things happen that come my way. And all that is the enemy trying to rattle you. But you just put the blinders on, and you just say, that's all right, we're going to go forward. And you praise God through the hard times. You praise him through the trials. One of my biggest things that I'm really trying to get a hold of, I don't want to complain about anything. I don't want to complain about anything. Nothing. I don't want to complain about the government. I don't want to complain about the church. I don't want to complain about the school district. I don't want to complain about family. I don't want to complain about friends. I don't want to complain about my employers. I don't want to complain about anything. But instead, I want to pray about everything. Because if you do that, then your heart and your mind become overwhelmed with peace as you trust in Jesus. But so many times we... Actually, I'm going to bring it up in this morning's sermon. When we complain, you know what that shows? Selfishness. When we complain, that shows selfishness. Because I didn't get it my way. They didn't do it like I wanted. I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't know why they do that because I don't like it. God's saying, who are you? Quit being selfish. Quit being selfish. You know? So, you know, that's, we just got to understand when we trust God's word, when we take it to a whole nother level, oh man, it's amazing. It's amazing. We just got to go forward and read His word, know His word, get in His word, exercise His word, live His word. It's all in His word. So that tells me I better get into it. I better read it. You know, I don't want to get off subject, but I'm going to share this with you. This week in school, we have a discussion board. In this discussion board, the school, for some reason, beyond me, I don't know why, they put in there that Esau had godly principles. I looked at it like, what? So I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't say nothing about it. Well, people start posting. People start saying, the one person posted that Esau was truly a godly man and that every male and female needs to follow his example. So what I did, I went in there and I said, look, I said, I might not have studied Esau as much as you have, but I quoted a passage out of Hebrews that said Esau was a perverse and evil person. It said he was a perverse and profane person. I read through and looked in Amos. I looked in Ezekiel 35. I read through, there was another verse, and I put all those on there. I said, this was Esau. Esau was the leader of the Edomites. The Edomites were ones who, they chased after Israel. They tried to kill Israel because he was still mad at his brother. That's what the Bible said. So I posted all that. That person did not respond whatsoever. Did not respond. So I said, I'm using the scripture to define why I think Esau is not a godly person. Can you please show me in scripture where Esau is a godly person? I got no response. No response whatsoever. And the point is, when we make things, when we make statements, it needs to be based on the Word of God. And all it was is they read a commentary that somebody had quoted, and the commentary was wrong. Instead of going to the Word and reading it for themselves, they just started quoting what they saw in the commentary.
Is this person trying to be a pastor? Or
this person said they was a pastor. So, I mean, that's my passion, is to read the scriptures. If it's not written, don't believe it. That should be your concept. If I can't read it, don't believe it.
Right.
And sometimes when I read it, it might go against my conventional thinking. And then I got to say, you know what, God, I guess I was wrong in the way I thought. Now that my eyes have been opened to your word and your scripture and your ways, sometimes you got to swallow your pride and say, I was wrong. He actually commented to another person, and he told this other person, I don't have any scripture that says Esau was a godly person. He says, I went through some betrayal like Esau did, and God helped me, so I can only imagine that God helped Esau. So he was basing it off his emotions. He was basing it off of his experience, but he wasn't basing it off the Word of God. You know? So, and it just made me aware that as we want to be followers of the Word, we have to speak what the Word says. You know, that's why David tells us that his Word is true, that His Word is faithful, His commands are true. And all through this, it talks about we need to open it up. We need to put it in our heart. Matter of fact, let's go on. In verse 141, He says, I am insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. You know, this is a great humbling lesson right here. David was considered insignificant. Sometimes we want to be significant in other people's lives. Sometimes we want to, you know, you ever heard somebody say, you're not going to talk to me like that. You don't know what I've been through. You know, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to say, I earned that respect. I deserve respect. And David's saying, I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. He says, I'm insignificant. He says, I'm insignificant and despised, but I don't forget your commandments. You don't need people's respect. You don't need it. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. You know, if they disrespect you, Jesus says, well, they disrespected him as well. You know, a servant's not better than his master. So it's not you that they reject, it's God that they reject. So, you know, sometimes we have to take that role of being despised. And sometimes that hurts our feelings. Let's just be honest. You get despised, you get rejected. That kind of hurts our feelings. Don't let it hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to disrespect you before the day is over with. You know, don't let it hurt your feelings.
Or stop, acknowledge that it's an emotion.
Right.
And acknowledge what you just said.
You trying to get me on that emotion kick? But don't let it get to you. Just keep following God's word. We've got to put blinders on. I mean, I'm excited because I'm for certain when we put blinders on and we go after His word hardcore, 100%, things will change. Your life will change. Don't worry about whose life you're going to change. Change yours, because then God's going to use you to change somebody else's life later.
Amen.
We sometimes get so focused on, I want to go. God's saying, right here, just do this right now. Just do this. And I guarantee when you do this, yeah, you're going to be tested with your pride. You're going to be tested with everything else. With your money, with your health, your relationships, you're going to be tested. You know, that's one thing that me and Heather talk about all the time. We know when the enemy's coming. We're going to be tested in our relationship. But we say, regardless, we know who we are in Christ. We know where our love stands. We're going to be tested financially. We're going to be tested physically. We're going to be tested with our kids. And as they grow and get into the rebellion years, it's going to happen. Don't let it faze you. Don't let it shake you up. Embrace it. Understand and say, you know what? Let's go. You know, that's what a marriage is about. Husband and wife come together and being one. Because when a husband and wife come together and they're on the same team, serving the same Lord, accomplishing the same will, the same goal, and then you throw Jesus in that,
a threefold cord,
it's not quickly broken. You know, and that's what we got to come to grips to say, hey, you know, and maybe you don't have a spouse that's willing to follow. Maybe you're a single person. Get connected with God. In the mouths of two or more, let every word be established. In the mouths of you and God alone. That's what a relationship is so strong, because it's you and God. And when the both of you team up, you won't be defeated. You won't be defeated. And God's going to give you discernment that you can get hooked up with some other strong people in your life. Don't just go get hooked up if everybody says they're a Christian. Don't just go... And, you know, talking to everybody who says they're a minister, have discernment. Know your word. Whatever they say, look through it. You say, well, I don't understand that. Can you show up to me? You know? So moving on. In verse 142, he says, your justice is eternal, and your instructions are perfectly true. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. I'm so glad that's put in there. As pressure and stress bear down on you. Who's had pressure and stress this week? We have it. We have it. But we find joy in His commands. If you know His word, if you embrace His word, if you embrace a relationship, and you know what? I start thinking, man, when you wake up, you're praising God. When you get your day started, you're praising God. When you're going through life, when you praise Him and praise Him and praise Him, when you're walking with Him and walking with Him, when the stress overbears you, you have joy. You have joy. Sometimes I've had stressful moments and I just chuckle. I mean, it's like just overwhelming stress. And you just laugh. Say, hey, God, we're going to do it. We're going to get through it. I mean, you have to embrace Him as your partner, that He's walking with you. And when you start to feel that stress, when you start to feel that burden, you just kind of laugh and say, okay, God, let's do it.
I don't think He's your partner. I think He's your leader.
Yeah, He is. He's your leader. He's leading, and you just follow Him wherever He goes. All right, moving on. He says, your laws are always right. Help me to understand them so I may live. I like that. He says, your laws are always right. Sometimes I think I'm always right. But He says, your laws are always right. Look at this. He says, help me understand them. Why? so I can live. Sometimes you just got to say, God, help me. You know, understanding means living it. It don't just mean quoting it.
Yeah.
Understanding means seeing it, understanding it by living it. When it says, pray for those who persecute you, pray for those who despitefully use you, that's what you got to do. Because when you understand it, and then you come against that, then you can do it. Forgive the ones who are against you. If you understand it, you do it. Because if you don't do it, then you fully... You know, I actually heard something a while ago. This is years ago. A minister was preaching about forgiveness. He was saying those... And it kind of makes sense when you go look in Matthew. But he said those who don't forgive don't understand forgiveness. If you don't understand forgiveness, how can you receive it? That's why the book of Matthew says, forgive, for the Father to forgive you. If you don't forgive, the Father won't forgive you. So if you don't forgive, you don't understand what forgiveness is. Can you accept something that you don't understand?
So it's not that He doesn't forgive you, it's just you can't accept it because you don't understand it.
Right. Because you don't know, well, let's... In, I think it's Matthew 6. Matthew, right here, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive them their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you. There's really not any other way you can understand that. If you forgive, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. I didn't write it. But, I mean, it's...
I find when I have to forgive, I have to... Like, I've got to go to that person. Not even that I have to say I forgive them. I mean, I can ask the Lord, tell me forgive them, forgive them. But I've got to be nice to that person. And, you know, like, I've got to be around that person and show Jesus.
That's the key.
Right.
That's the key. Because forgiveness, you still see it.
Right.
You still see it. But forgiveness, the actual definition of forgiveness is you're not going to hold that person accountable to what they've done.
Right.
I mean, you see the effects. You see the outcome. You see the aftermath of what they might have done in your life. You see it. You experience it. You live with it. But you can't hold them. You can't continue to hold them responsible. You can't keep looking at them and blaming them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because that's what he's talking about. And that's why we're saying, hey, your laws, they're right. Your laws, think about it. God's laws are right. God says, if you forgive, I'll forgive. If you don't forgive, I won't forgive. God, your laws are right. Your word is right. But you got to help me understand it so I can live it.
Also, if you don't forgive, it doesn't hurt the other person.
It hurts you.
You struggle within you, and it'll take you down.
That's why he says, help me to do it so I can live. Because if you don't do it, just like Dorothy's saying, if you don't do it, bitterness takes root and it defiles you, not them.
Mm-hmm.
It defiles you. And then that, sometimes you can say, God, I'm having a hard time. Help me.
So sometimes that's not easy.
Right.
And sometimes it takes time.
And you got to say, God.
You have the will to forgive sometimes when you really, within yourself, rather not.
You know where true forgiveness comes from? True forgiveness doesn't come from me. It comes from the Holy Spirit working through me.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from me laying my life down to say, God, it's not about me anymore. It's about what you want to do through me. And God said, let's see. They nailed me to a tree, and I said, Father, forgive me. They don't know what you're doing. So this person did this to you, so I'm going to live through you and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's Jesus working through you because you can't do it on your own. And sometimes in my life, if I have a hard time forgiving, if I have a hard time, then God's saying, you're not allowing the Spirit to live through you. You're doing it yourself. you're living in the flesh. And sometimes you got to see, ooh, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I am flat out wrong. I'm living in the flesh. And you got to crucify that flesh and yield to the Spirit.
I think I need to share because I had been a Christian for a long time. And something happened to me that another person did to me that I was struggling. And it was taking me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to my pastor at the time and explained it to him. And he said, little lady, he was older than me. He said, what you have gone through has been rough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for you. But he gave me the scripture. And he said, you begin, even though you don't want to do it in yourself, and you begin to will to forgive her.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, the more that you say it, the more that it'll come to you that you really do want to forgive her.
Because mm-hmm. that's how you didn't want to.
And I was a Christian. I mean, if you would have looked at my life, you would have thought, oh, it's okay. But within me, it was killing me.
Right.
And I did. I started. Thank God I will be forgive her. And finally, I completely forgive her, and I was better.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord came back. So yeah. It happened. It is true.
As you talk about that, one thing that I see a lot as working with hospice, I see a lot of people start releasing anger, hatred, and bitterness in their heart. And I'm thinking, man, it would have been nice if they could acknowledge that and release it early in life instead of waiting and living your whole life with that much anger and that much bitterness. If we can see ourselves now, that's why the Bible tells us the more we look in this, the more we see ourselves. The more we're in it, the more we see ourselves. And when I see this, I see my own selfishness. I see my own anger. I see my own bitterness. But if I don't and I close it and I put it away, I go away deceiving myself to say I'm not that bad. After all, I do this and I do that. I mean, God will forgive me. But the more we look into it, the more we see ourselves. The more we see ourselves, the more we know who we are in Christ. All right, moving on. In verses 145, we're going to start 145. We're not going to get through all this today. 140, he says, I pray with all my heart. Answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. You know, this has become a passion of mine. I pray with all my heart. I'll be honest with you. There's been times I pray with a ritual attitude. Sometimes there's been times when I would pray because I know this is the opportunity to pray. And sometimes praying for meals, you just sit down and you recite a prayer. It becomes a ritual. But sometimes we have to sit down and really see, you know what, God, I really am thankful. You know, I see that there's so much going on and I see I struggle, but Lord, thank you for this food. I ask that it would bless and nourish my body. You start reflecting on all the different food poisonings and all the different chemicals people put on food. And sometimes you just have to be thankful for what you have. That's being thankful from your heart. That's praying from your heart. We teach our kids, you know, we teach them a prayer as they lay down. A prayer as they get up. And sometimes we have to look back and say, am I doing it with my heart? It starts off sometimes with your heart, but then you can just fall into a ritual. Church is like that. Sometimes church can be a factory setting. It's like you come in and do the same thing, and you leave. You come back next week, you sit down, the same place, the same people, you say the same things, do the same thing, and then you leave. And sometimes it's not all that good outside of church. And you come back in Sunday and it's the same thing. It's a factory setting. Sometimes we got to change things up. And say, let's not be a factory setting, but let's look at it from our heart. Let's use our heart. Let's search God with our heart. God, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do? How do you want to speak to us today? God, what do you want? When we search Him with our heart, He really begins to speak. Sometimes, yeah, I'm going to try that this morning. We want to try to go into a different praise for ministry time. Just a really heartfelt praise time to sit and reflect. A time to sit face to face with God and really engage with Him. And that's what I want. Because when God can really be the center, the focus of your attention, He speaks to you. He speaks to you. And sometimes we have to prepare our hearts for Him to speak to us. We got to get out of that factory setting. We got to get out of it. We got to get to that just, hey, God, it's me and you. It's me. What do you want to do? And that's what he's saying. He says, I pray with all my heart. Answer me, Lord. I will obey your decrees. You know, there's been times when I would read scripture and it's like I didn't understand it. And I read it again. I didn't understand it. Maybe a couple years later, I read it like, oh, yeah. And I start doing it. And I was talking to my dad once. He said, you know why you didn't understand it? He said, because God knew you wasn't going to do it. He knew your heart wasn't ready to do it.
Nice.
And if he would have showed it to you, you'd have been held accountable for it. Sometimes when we have to really lay down our life to say, God, I want to do it, then our eyes are open. I mean, if you had a child, you're not going to give them their trust fund because you know they're going to blow it. So you withhold it from them. You wait till they're mature. When they're mature, then you can start giving them things. That's how God does with us sometimes. He said, I'm not going to give you this because you're not going to do it. You know, and sometimes, think about it, sometimes you say, God, I want more understanding. He said, no, you don't. You ain't even read my word all week. You come into church, you lift your hands, and you say, oh, I want to be blessed. I want to be filled with the Spirit. He says, no, you don't. You ain't touched the Bible all week long. He knows our heart. He knows. And we say, God, I want to be loving. He says, no, you don't. Because you can't love the person you just cussed out the other day. You know, he knows our heart. He sees us. He knows what we're doing. And that's why we have to say, God, I'm going to search you with my whole heart. Meaning, I'm going to do everything I see. Everything I see in your word, I'm going to do it. And then he says, I will obey. When's the last time that you honestly sat down and said, God, I'm going to obey everything you show me. Show me something. Now, when he shows it to you, you're going to be willing to do it.
Yes.
You know, and that's good. And that's good. But there's some people that, I'll do it later. I'll get to it later.
Later may not come.
Right. But we got to let it down, and we got to do it now. He goes on, he says, I cry out to you, rescue me, that I may obey your laws. I like this. He's saying, I'll obey it. You know, I think that's what we got to take away from this. No matter what he says, obey it. No matter what he says, obey it. No matter what you go through, obey it. No matter how you feel, no matter what your circumstances present, no matter what your emotion says, no matter what the people around you say, obey God's word. Obey. He says, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help, and I put my hope in your words. You know, I look at this. We cry out. We put our hope in his word. Sometimes people put their hope in lawyers. Sometimes people put their hope in money. Sometimes people put their hope in doctors. Sometimes people put their hope in their pastor. They put their hope in their husband, their wife. Sometimes you can put your hope in your job. You put your hope in so many different places. God wants us to put all of our hope in him. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. If you really put your hope in God, he knows your tomorrow. He knows your today. He knows your struggles that's in front of you. He knows your path. He knows your ups, your downs, your hurts, your pains. He knows it all. If you put your hope in him, he's going to be there right next to you. He's going to walk with you as you go through it. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through struggles. There's going to be times you want to cry. But if you put your hope in him, that's why it's so important to build that relationship. How have we seen building this relationship through Psalms 119? Obedience, obedience, obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to what I've said? No. Obedience to the word. Obedience to what feels good? No. Obedience to his word. Obedience to what someone has told you? No. Obedience to his word. So if that's your hope, if that's your lifeline, how much time are you spending in it? You know, it should be our source of dietary. We should be ingesting it. Ingesting it. You ain't got to read a whole chapter every day. You ain't got to read the whole book every day. But read a verse. Meditate on it. Decide today I'm going to live this verse. You know? Just keep meditating on it. If you don't understand it, we have been blessed in America. You can have 5 Bibles in your home. You can have a cross reference. You can have a dictionary. You can have a commentary. You can have so much to study his word. but yet put so much little effort into it. We have it right there at our fingertips. God says, why are you struggling? I'll walk with you. I'll give you that hope. I'll give you that peace. I'll give you that joy. I'll give you the understanding. All we got to do is rely on Him. Build that relationship. Moving on, He says in verse 148, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promises. In your faithful love, Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived following your regulation. Now, I like this next verse. He said, lawless people are coming to attack me. They live far from your instructions. But you are near, O Lord. All your commandments are true. I have known from my earliest days that your laws will last forever. You know, when I look at verse 150, lawless people are coming to attack me. That's the persecuted church right there. They was coming to attack Paul. He saw it. He knew it. There's Christians today being attacked. It's the same thing. There's going to be Christians that's going to be attacked from the beginning of the time to the end of time. It's going to happen. It's always going to be there. Paul was attacked. We see David talking about being attacked. God's children are going to be, what did he say in Romans, one of those, he says that we are counted sheep for the slaughter. We're oppressed beyond measure, but we're not tore down. You know, people's going to attack us for being Christians. Here's the thing we got to understand. America is going so far the opposite way. They are going that far. Christians are going to be attacked for what they believe. Understand it. Realize it. It's the way it is. Satan's the prince of the world. He's going to be unleashed to do what he wants in this world. The Antichrist is being set up to come. It means that person is going to bring a whole world together through money, through religion. And it's going to be opposite of what God's word says. The people who aren't strong in the word are going to be deceived. The Bible talks about if even the very elect could be deceived. You have to know your word. You have to have a relationship. Because if you have that relationship, you're not going to care what is going to happen because you can't stop it. It says in the later days that people are going to be lovers of money. People are going to be greedy. There's going to be people that's disobedient to their parents. He said in the last days, you're going to see it. That means it's going to happen. It talks about in Romans that people become homosexuals because they've acknowledged God, but they don't serve Him as who He is. And because of that, God gave them up. Women became lovers of other women. Men became lovers of other men. It happens because they gave God up and God gave them up. But God says, stick to the word. You stick to the word. He'll protect you. Christians are going to be persecuted. They're going to be talked about. They're going to be ridiculed. But imagine what kind of influence you're going to have on others by the way you live. Don't get tangled up with the emotions of what's going on. Just stay committed to what the Word of God says. Stay committed to obeying His Word. Everybody see that? You know, we got to be strong in it. We got to be strong in it. I mean, look at this group here. You guys are strong. You're here faithfully. But you're a few out of how many in the church? The Bible talks about many are called, but few are chosen. There's not too many that's willing to sacrifice the sleep, the time, to get up and come and hear His word faithfully. You got something in you. That's Jesus drawing you and drawing you and drawing you.
Amen to that. Amen. I'm serious. That's what my mom says. We were having a conversation today. She goes, I just feel like I'm just over the top blessed. Just chosen to say, I don't even know another way to say it. But how many people are just out there wandering?
Right.
And then we are here. We're gathered together.
Right. And that's what He wants. He wants us to study. He wants us to see it. He wants us to engage with it. He wants us to learn how to trust it. He wants us to obey it.
Well, He's not going to come back and do the stuff that's going to happen without preparing us.
Right.
Right.
He says, you're out there, but let me show you how to do it. Let me show you how to do it.
He loves us, so He's going to prepare us and practically do it for us. I mean, there it is.
Right. He knows, but he didn't look. Well,
we're going to stop there, and we'll finish it up for sure next week. Yeah, we only have... Yeah, but that section there, it had a lot, you know, it had a lot that God really wants us to identify with. He wants us to see it. He wants us to understand He knows what we're going through. He knows. He knows. That's amazing. Think about it. He knows. He knows your tomorrow. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. He knows your struggles. He knows your failures. He knows it all. He knows. And all He's saying is, I'm going to walk with you. Let me help you. Let me help you. And yet sometimes we reject His help by doing it our own way. And yet, how many times have you done it your own way and you're still not satisfied? You do it your own way and you're still hurting. Right. God's saying, when are you going to give up? When are you going to give up and follow me? You know? And that's why David, that's why in this psalm he says, your words are trustworthy. Your regulations are true. They are right. I'm going to follow them. All right, well, let's pray. Any prayer requests? Donnie, unspoken. Anybody else?
My dad, he's going through some minor tests to see why his hypertension keeps going up. So, good test results.
Anybody else? Megan?
The refugee song will answer the open to the word.
In the ATL. Paula?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else?
Just patience with my children.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know, just want to start rumbling and rolling and fighting. I just need, and I know it's not them, not to change them, but it's, and I was already on my knees praying for it this morning. It's like, all right, I got to go into this day. I even said to you this morning, man, they know.
Yeah.
And then this morning I thought, but I know what it is. God's working on me.
Well, when you said that, the first thing I thought is right there, we see the balance of a family. We see the balance of a family structure. When the father's missing, some of that discipline goes with it. Just the presence. And that lets you know that when God put marriage together, He did it for a reason. You know, and you're getting ready to do that marriage thing that you guys are doing, this is an opportunity to talk about, hey, you know what, once you take one part, the equation out, things get disrupted. You know, and it's just a way to see it and say, okay, let me learn from it. How can I embrace this and go forward with
right.
it?
And really, I guess, support each other, too, as husband and wife, as you are raising kids. I would say I was a single mom. That would be good. Somebody take them.
We're married, and I still want somebody to take them. Oh, I'm sorry. You're sitting right there.
Okay, he just means boy.
He just sits you out for her, but she's been
rebellious. That's right. That's right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just come to you once again, Lord, just thanking you for this time. Lord, thanking you for your word. Thanking you for your instructions. Lord, thanking you for your understanding. Thanking you that everything that we go through, you've already known about it. Lord, you have prepared us. And Lord, we are a group of people that we desire of your word. We desire your instructions. And I just pray that you would just pour into us all the things that you want us to know. Lord, I pray that you would touch us differently, each and every one of us, according to what we're going through, that we could be better equipped to handle this world, be better equipped to live for you, to be better equipped to follow your word and do the things that you called us to do, that we would be the light into this dark world. Lord, we just lift up Donnie. We know he has an unspoken prayer. Lord, they're unspoken to our ears, but Lord, you know in his heart. You already know what he wants. You already know what he needs. You already know what you have in store for him. Lord, we just pray that you bless him and just restore him, Lord, and just lift him up and encourage him. Lord, we pray that you meet every need that's within his heart and just give him that joy and that peace that he longs for. Lord, we lift up Dennis. We know he's going through testing. Lord, sometimes as we wait for test results, we get a little anxious. We get a little burdensome. We get a little wearisome. But Lord, we just ask that you would just bless him. Bring people his way to let him know that he can put his trust in the Lord, that no matter what, he can trust you. Lord, we know that sometimes the quickest way up is down. And Lord, sometimes when we're down and we're stressed and we're worried, Lord, we just ask that you would just open his heart and just allow that salvation to set in, that he would have that comfort and that peace and know that he can rely on you. Lord, we just pray for all the refugees in Atlanta. Lord, we know that you're doing a great work down there. Lord, we know that you've called people down there to spread the gospel and to teach them how to communicate and teach them how to spread the gospel in their own language. And Lord, we just pray that you would just open their hearts. Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around them that the evil spirit would be gone, that they could see all the things that you have in store for them. Lord, give them that understanding, give them that wisdom, give them that discernment. And Lord, we pray for all the missionaries down there, like Colleen and Armin and everyone else who's down there. We just pray that you would just give them the words to say and the actions to do, that they would see the love of Christ in them. And Lord, we lift up Rachel, and we know that she's going through a time of patience. Lord, we just ask that you would just comfort her. Let her know that everything that's going on in her life has been ordained by you to continue to further her along in her ministry, in her life, in her children's life, and her family's life. Lord, we just pray that you would just step in and take over and give her that peace and that comfort. Lord, we just pray for the children, that they would see your hand. Even though they're so young and so small, Lord, we know that you know how to speak to them as well. Lord, we lift up Paula. Lord, we know that she's been going through so many things. We know that she has relationship issues. And Lord, sometimes you go through health issues and some work issues. But Lord, we just pray that you would be that beacon of light within her heart, that she wouldn't even worry about what's going on around her, but she would just keep her eyes focused on you, that joy would set in, that comfort would set in, that within her heart she knows that she's blessed because she's living and walking with you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.